Radio Fairfax, this is On the Commons, and I'm Sue Bartholomew. This week on the Commons, we're going to have a slightly different kind of show. The first segment you're going to hear is an interview that Rodney Gray did for a documentary that he's making. And so I had my recorder on thinking that I would share the questions and my answers with you. So on my show, I am now being interviewed. During the second portion, you will hear Dr. Gary Solomon and Robin Wynn. They drove me from Henderson back into Las Vegas, and in the car I had the recorder on, and we recorded a conversation and talked to them. So they will both be back on the show at a later time. But please sit back, enjoy it. You're just sort of eavesdropping on a couple of conversations we had. Again, enjoy the show, and On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions. Here we go.
Shu, at the beginning of the segments of On the Commons, I want to read a quote from you. Living in a mandatory homeowners association means giving up a part of the American dream. It means giving up constitutional rights and control over one's most valuable asset, one's home. And you start off with, you're leaving the American zone. What do you mean by leaving the American zone?
There's a perception that in America you're free. There's also a perception that if you're a homeowner, you're king of the castle. But when you have people measuring your grass, fining you for leaving your garage door open for longer than the allotted 10 minutes or 12 minutes or whatever it is they want you to do it, when they don't like your cracked flower pots on the front porch, when you've got a dusty mailbox, when your garden hose has been unapproved and they go after you, how free are you? How does that relate to this you're free? It's a free country, you can do anything you want. When in your own home, you are harassed, abused, tormented, fined, ridiculed, you're not allowed to have your friends over, you can only have two friends over at a time.
Sorry, can I stop you there? The way you're sitting is just not quite working for the... This is a little weird. So I'm wondering if maybe we should just give you a different chair. Like that one, maybe. Move the couch over. Because she's sitting this way and looking at you, and okay. It doesn't look very good. Sorry about that.
Do you want to angle the opposite direction then? So she's facing
yeah.
Robin directly.
Okay. Like this.
Yeah, okay. Just like
this will be okay. Yeah,
I guess we start from scratch.
Well, I'm just going to go ahead and let you just take off from where you were after I mentioned about leaving the American zone.
Rodney, while we're doing the interview, make sure you don't lean in like that.
Oh yeah, I'm not gonna move at all.
Put your arm up.
Yeah, I'm gonna be like a statue pretty
okay.
much.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Why is it that you say leaving the American zone?
Because there's a perception that in America you're free, that if you're a homeowner, you own your home, and by implication, when you own something, you can do what you want with it. But when you live in an HOA, you have people measuring your grass. You get fined for having cracked flower pots on your front porch. You have people telling you to hose off your roof and dust your mailbox. And the harassment just goes on and on and on. It is nitpicky. And the thing is, the association has the power to really go after you. And the homeowners are at a disadvantage. So you're not free when you're living like that. There's no freedom associated with living in an HOA.
Tell us about On the Commons. You got it started, I believe, in 2001. I'm not sure exactly, but how did you go about starting the show On the Commons? What was your motivation behind it?
Well, I've been involved in HOA issues for 23-24 years. I started off in my own HOA. Nobody ever came after me. No, I was not a victim, you know. But I saw what was happening to some of my neighbors, and I don't like bullies. So I got involved and interested in the concept, and why are these people harassing my neighbors? And I ended up on the board, and when I got on the board and I started looking at all this documentation, I thought, this doesn't look very good. And it was sort of a natural progression, and On the Commons is in its 12th year now. But at one point I went on the internet, I learned how to turn on my computer, and that was a terrible day for the rest of the world, because when I did that, I noticed that there's so many people out there who had so many questions. And I was inclined to sort of try to help them a little bit. And it's just the natural progression. I ended up doing the show, and it's in its 12th year now.
Are there some stories you would like to share, interesting stories that you would like to...
I'm going to tell you there's some really great stories out there, and there's some stories that I had heard about and tried to do shows on, and people were so afraid, and they wouldn't allow me to do it. They wouldn't allow me to discuss it. I can tell you that there were a couple of communities in the Midwest that I got calls from. I'm not even going to tell you what state. And they were just absolutely terrified of what was going on. What was happening was terrible. They would not let me talk about it. They were afraid of getting help. They were calling me for help. And then you have some of the stories like Arshid from Texas, who showed up at hearings in Texas and said she was going to kill herself. And so they said, turn off the cameras, we can't have this going up. So I got her on the next show, and they said, come and talk to us. You know, let's get the cameras off, come and talk to us, and we'll help you. And so when she went back there, and I said, what happened? She said, nothing. They said, that's what you get for living in an HOA. This is some of your legislators in Texas. So there was absolutely no help from there. I mean, the stories...
Sure, what kind of... just to articulate, just a little... What kind of... What was her name again?
Arshid Khurshid.
What kind of hearing was that she was in front of?
It was congressional hearings on... They were trying to come up with legislation to regulate associations. And so they were listening mostly to people who were trying to push for legislation and people who were speaking against them, the lobbyists. And she came, this little thing came running in from the back. And she said, I'm going to kill my, I have something to say, I want to say something. And she sat down and she started sobbing. She said, I'm going to kill myself. And, I can't do that. She says, they're giving me a really hard time. I don't know what to do and I don't know where to turn. They said, well, you know, come and talk to us. We'll help you. And so I managed to get a hold of her, and I said, all right, what happened when you got back there? What happened when the cameras were turned off? She said, they told me that's what you get for living in an HOA.
Sorry. Were there any kind of stories that involve the police being involved?
Lots of stories. I hear from a lot of people who've gone to homeowner. I always call them homeowner meetings, because back when I was on the board, they were homeowner meetings, and the meetings were for the homeowners. And of course now CAI and the industries come in and they twisted it. They're no longer homeowner meetings, they're board meetings. They don't want the homeowners there. They'll whine and complain about apathy, they'll whine and complain about nobody being there, but they really don't want the homeowners there. And if you've got a homeowner who's inclined to ask some embarrassing questions, there have been stories of the police arresting them and holding them handcuffed in the back seat of a cruiser while the meeting was going on. first time this happened, I couldn't believe it. In fact, I was warned by friends, don't even bring that up on the air because you're going to look like an idiot. I mean, that just doesn't happen. It happened in Virginia. It happened in Delaware. It happened in Texas. It happened in Nevada. It's happening all over the place. The police do come. The board calls them. The police comes. And they'll remove you for trespassing or for whatever it is. They'll just hold you in the cruiser. And if you fight them, they'll cuff you.
This was that one case in Texas where they locked a lady up in the back of a cruiser during a meeting, and then after the meeting they let her go.
Yep.
Did you... Well, how did that story... I mean, who was the lady? Do you remember that? Or?
You know, I don't remember names. I do remember the incident. But I've interviewed so many people over the last 12 years that I just...
Okay, I wanted to get this, but could you tell the incident that I was referring to in Texas where they put the lady in the cruiser?
She'd attended... I think she was being sued by her association, and she attended the board meeting. And I did interview her, and they did. They put her in the cruiser. But the interesting thing was that I then got emails from the board saying, she's a liar! Why are you putting all that stuff on the air? Why don't you talk to us? That didn't happen. You know. But there was someone, I got to go back a number of years. There was a guy by the name of David Wilcox in California. Really nice guy. And he came up with sort of a report card for your homeowner association. So you lived in Happy Homes from Hell, and you'd send it to him, and you'd say, hey, I'm in Hawaii, Happy Homes from Hell. I've got a beautiful ocean view, blah, 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 but a lousy board. And so he put this up on his website. And you could then send him all the information, and he would put it in these boxes. So the idea was that if you were looking to buy a house, and if you were going to Hawaii, you could go and see what stories were coming out of Hawaii. David no longer has the website, which is unfortunate, but he said that he would then get calls and emails from presidents saying, well, we've fixed our ways, we no longer do that, you know, so you can take us off your list. We don't do that anymore, we're good guys now. Which ties into something CAI did.
CAI, could you give me, where are we at with time, Robert?
We got plenty of time. We got 15 minutes.
Okay. Could you just give me a general idea of what mentioned its community association? Could you say all this in your answer, Community Association Institute, CAI, and give me just a general concept of who they are?
CAI was started back in 1972, I believe, and the idea was that it would be an umbrella organization to bring in the five different interests in associations. Believe it or not, attorneys were not involved because there was, you know, they were just the associates. But homeowners represented by board members, not the homeowners, but the board members. You had managers, you had developers, you had the government, and then you had the associates. And the associates would be the pool guys, the attorneys, the CPAs, and anybody else who was sort of involved in that. The idea was to see if they could bring in all of these different interests and merge them together. That, the founders of CAI are saying, is a failed experiment. If you talk to Lynn Cummings, he'll tell you that failed. Well, of course it failed. You've got diverse interests, you know. Why did you think that it wouldn't fail? Part of the information, part of the reason for that, according to Byron Hankey, who's known as the grandfather of the modern day associations, and I did interview him, not on the record, he wouldn't do that, but I talked to him quite a bit and I went to his house. He was really upset with CAI because CAI was becoming very exclusionary. His idea for CAI when he founded it, he was one of the original three founders, was that it would be informative. It would bring these different groups of people together. And people would be able to work together. and it's not worked out that way. Before he died, he really went after CAI. At the last conference he attended in D.C., he really went after them. And they opened things up a little bit, but as soon as he died, and just lately, they've just really strangled information.
You had, on the way over here, you mentioned you had a funny story about CAI you wanted to share.
We were talking, CAI, you were saying that you had contacted some of the CAI members and that you wanted to interview them. And they said, finally someone's getting our side of the story. Do you remember Winona Blevins, the Winona
yes.
Blevins story? All right. I think it was 2020 that did a segment on Winona. They were going to do the entire show on Winona Blevins. And in fact, I had been in touch with the producer of that show. And she needed some contacts for other people and so on. And a lot of things happened, including 911 in the middle of all that. But she'd set up interviews, and the focus was going to be on Winona Blevins. But she'd set up interviews with a number of other homeowners who were having problems. CAI contacted her when they got wind of the show, and they demanded that they be included. And she said, no, I don't think so. Don't particularly want you here. So they sent up some of their henchmen honchos up to New York to try and talk them into it. And what happened was they reduced the show down to a small segment instead of the full hour that they were going to do. But, and CAI sent out this letter. Oh, we went up there and we sent our attorneys and we wanted them to do this, that, and the other. And, of course, nothing happened. So it sort of makes you wonder, doesn't it? What kind of an organization would do a thing like that?
One of the CAI attorneys in Houston said that they're self-regulating. If there's a runaway board, the neighbors will get together and just vote them off the board. It's self-regulating. How would you respond to that?
Very funny. Ask him what he's been smoking. They've been smoking funny cigarettes again, yeah? Yeah, they've got these plot answers down and they don't make any sense. It's like, just vote them off the board. Vote the buggers off the board, right. When they can send you a letter advising you that you're in violation of something, they can decide... They can
hold up a second.
I'm barking down.
Is it going to stop? Yeah, go. Where do we have with time, Robert?
We have 13 minutes.
Okay, we're good. Okay, hopefully I can't want to jump up. Go ahead and put that in. Put my question into an answer somewhat, and I'm going to say a statement. Put that in your answer, and then go on to it. CAI attorneys. One CAI attorney says that HOAs are self-regulating.
Yeah. What's he smoking? What exactly is he smoking? They're not self-regulating. When you have homeowners who can be disenfranchised for owing money, 9 times out of 10, they don't even know they owe money. Because they've been fined, because the fines, they've not been told they've been fined. There's one manager who admitted to sending out all these violation notices right before the election. And the governing document say if you've got a violation notice against you, you can't vote. The votes are not tabulated properly. They're tabulated outside of where the homeowners are, so there's no oversight. Like everything else in an HOA, there is no oversight. So, yeah, that's a nice thing to say. But unfortunately, he's either trying to pull your leg or he's a doofus.
Beanie was arguing that on, I believe it was on PBR, but one of the CEA attorneys, Dari, was there, and he and another attorney was there, and he was saying, well, an argument was brought up that if you own a fine, you can still vote. And the lawyer jumped in and said, well, that's the new rule. They can't keep you from voting because the new law says that even though you're behind in fines or whatever, they can't stop you from voting. So that takes care of that problem.
Some states have do you want me to continue?
Is the cat on the frame?
Oh, no. Okay. Do you, Robert,
yeah,
you want to just take care of
that? Yeah. Let's go.
Some states have enacted legislation that prevents them from doing that. I think Nevada is probably one of them. Oh, they can't do that. What associations? They're creative. There's always a loophole as big as Lake Mead there that they can jump through. But what they'll do is they'll fine you, and when you send in your assessment, they'll apply those dollars to the fine. So you're behind on your assessment. Then they've got late fees, then they've got interest charges, and they don't tell you that they've done that. And so you send in your next assessment, and pretty soon it's sort of escalated. There's so many ways of playing with this. You know, some legislators will say, hey, we've taken care of that. We've made it illegal. But nobody is watching to see what they're doing. Nobody is providing the adult supervision that is necessary.
Senator Corona with his priority of payment.
He did an interview. He marched off there because he said, no, that's not the way it happened. Senator Corona was the only legislator in Texas years and years and years ago who did anything with HOAs. The problem was his management company was real small at the time, and nobody, especially people in Houston, were the people that I had been in touch with, nobody in Houston knew that he was a manager. And so we found out about it. And we thought, wait a minute, there's a huge conflict of interest here. And so we sent that stuff to some of our contacts in Houston and said, wait a minute, Corona's writing these bills, they're not really homeowner friendly, and guess what, guys? And so that's when that kind of came to light. Of course, his management companies kind of exploded.
Can you give me a little bit of a story about, I know about you and Evan McKenzie, and I believe Bill, Senator Corona's corporation sent out subpoenas from the private token. Can you give me the little story about how that went?
Yeah, he's trying to figure out.
Mention his name when you're saying that.
Senator Corona is suing a homeowner because he alleges that the homeowner is posting negative stuff under a pen name, a pseudonym. And he's trying to discover the identity of this homeowner. And so he subpoenaed Evan McKenzie because Evan has Privatopia, the Privatopia papers, and I'm a guest contributor to that. So I also was subpoenaed. I get this subpoena and I call and I get in touch with Evan and I go, hey Evan, guess what? He says, I got one of those too. And so there are about three of us because Fred Pilot was also on there. So I don't know how that suit's coming, but yeah. But he's done that to a number of people.
Where are we at with time, Robert?
We have 7 minutes.
Okay.
We're going to quarter
till. Oh, I thought I asked five. No, it's quarter till right now. Did you want that time to back up?
May I ask, can you open one more question? Do you have a lot more to ask, Randy?
No, there's not a lot more to ask.
Okay.
Just two things. I was going to ask you about Twin Rivers, but you'd have to go over your notes to go into that probably, right?
Twin Rivers... Yeah, that was really sad. It's unfortunate that they did not win. They should have won. They should have won that case. But Frank Askin was really good. I don't remember the
exact. Okay, that's fine. We can skip that because I can ask Bill about that. Here's one. Pretty much, I've been going around asking people in Texas and Nevada this year. It's just like, what's the solution here? Is there a solution? Is there something that people can do to stop this mess that's going on in the country? Is there some solution up ahead?
Look, the first thing, you know, if you ask CAI that question, if you ask about...
Go ahead, do me a favor. When you're answering, put that question in your answer. Talk about solutions.
If you asked CAI what the solution was, you know, first of all, they'll tell you everything is working hunky-dory. But when you say we have these, well, it's just a few problems. What's the solution? The solution, according to them, is education. So I'm going to piggyback on their education. My education to the homeowners is there is nothing in HOAs for you, the homeowners. HOAs were never devised for the benefit of the homeowners. So this is your education. Understand that. They were there because the local municipalities need them. It's another way of doubling their taxation, their tax dollars, without providing anything. It's great for developers because they can cut all sorts of corners, they can increase density, they can do all kinds of things. And it's great for this industry. There's nothing in it for the homeowners. Some homeowners will say, well, I like the fact that there's a swimming pool in the neighborhood or there's a tennis court and I can go there. You don't need an HOA. You don't need to hold your property hostage to have a swimming pool run by a bunch of, by the Mickey Mouse Club. Because that's what's going to happen when that swimming pool fails. It's your house that's going to pay for it. You want a swimming pool in the neighborhood, then get zoning to say, this plot of land is zoned for recreational facilities. Now sell it to a real... Make it really private. Make it private and say, okay, you know, here we are, off the deep end. It's all yours. You can charge people to come in. If you screw up, you're the only people who are going to end up paying for it.
So you're saying that the CAI says there's a solution. Is there a solution for the homeowners? Is there a solution?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
The solution for the homeowners is to get this HOA nonsense off your back. You don't need the HOA. It's an albatross. The homeowners, what good is an HOA? Some people will say, well, they'll provide me with a community pool. I want a pool that I can walk to. You can still have a pool that you can walk to without having the HOA. You can build a pool there and let off the deep end own the pool, charge you membership, and take the risks. If they screw up financially, it's not your house that's going to go on the auction block to pay for that, which is what you have. There's this coupling in an HOA with the common areas and private property. It's a mess. It's a legal mess. Separate that out. Now, that's okay as long as it's not a high-rise. You know, when you've got a high-rise, a condominium, then that's totally separate. But you can have townhouses. You can have zero-lot-line houses. You don't need an HOA.
A common term that I hear is I want you to say the term that's said frequently throughout the movement is that you're one election away from...
You're one election away from having everything turn around on you. People will say, well, I'll give speeches in Toastmasters. I'll talk about legislation. I'll talk about some of the horror stories. I'll talk about lawsuits in my attempt to educate people who are a little bit outside of that. And I'll get people who come up to me and they say, sure, you don't need all associations. And I go, oh, my association's perfect. It hasn't happened to me. I can take that down the road a little bit more. But I tell them, it's okay. It's either happening and you don't know it, or you're one election away from having all of that turn around. You're one board president away, you're one corrupt manager away from doing that. We have in Virginia, we had Coger. Millions of dollars that's gone down the tubes. Coger managed my association. Nobody knew that the money was being put, you know, was being siphoned up. Millions and millions of dollars. Everybody said, oh, they wouldn't do that. They're all professionals.
2 minutes. I want to give you a last word, something you want to say. It can be about whatever, if you just want to say something.
You know, what I like to tell people is don't believe everything you're told. Do the homework. That's from board members who say, you can't do that. Ask them to cite their authority. Go check the governing documents. Find out if it really is true that they can't do that. Number two, understand. Please understand that HOAs were never conceived with homeowners in mind. You're the tools to make this work for other people, for the benefit of other people. Don't buy into that. And you don't have to have an HOA. You really and truly don't have to have an HOA. Some people have a hard time with that concept. And they're saying, well, what are you going to do with the existing HOAs? Well, they're there. But you don't have to keep building them. It's like a rabbit that just keeps producing and multiplying. You don't need that.
Because I know they're just going like crazy in Texas.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's almost hard to find a place without an HOA.
Yeah, all over the country. Hey, why not? Your local municipality can just take that money and pilfer it. You're on the hook.
Okay, I think we got it.
Okay. Agree with you?
We're going to get room down. We'll just be quiet for about 30 seconds.
About 3 years ago in Calico Ridge, which is located in Henderson, Nevada, I started noticing and looking down at the neighborhood. My home looks over the neighborhood. But the neighborhood was awfully quiet. There were no people on the streets, there were no children, there were no cars, there was absolutely nothing. And I had thought it was an anomaly, so later on throughout the week, I would go back and forth to the deck to see if I saw it the same way. And as it turned out, it remained quiet. Coincidentally, in about the same time, people would start to come to my front door and say, are you having problems with your homeowners association? And I didn't think much of it. And then it came to me that the reason that the neighborhood is quiet is because the homeowners association is basically on everybody's back.
Mm-hmm.
So I started doing research from a healthcare point of view. What's really happening to these people? What's really going on around us? And I went to a number of HOAs, board meetings, talking to people who live in them or lived in them. And what I found out was is that they were all traumatized in one way or another. Having found that out, I began to do some research and background on the effects of stress as it related to homeowners associations and came up with the title HOA syndrome, which on the surface is very similar to post-traumatic stress disorder. However, it differs significantly in that it's based in harassment rather than a single event. It was with that I began doing my research, which ultimately led me in the area of stress, body functioning, blood levels, anything that I could identify that related to the problems that were being caused by homeowners associations. That then led me to a point where I started looking at what was the origin, what was causing all of this, why were people so interested in HOAs and management company. And as it turns out, there's an enormous profit behind management companies and collection companies. If one has the misfortune to move into a homeowners association that is driven by the management companies and the collection companies, that misfortune is going to turn into financial misfortune. Because those companies' only interest is to bilk the individual homeowner out of as much money as they can get out of their pocket. Sometimes, and now more often, homes are ending up in foreclosure. People are literally dogging those homes with high equity value. They send letters to them. Letters become fines. Fines become collections. Collections become foreclosures. And so a group of people now, nationally, are coming together and foreclosing on homes in homeowners associations where there's high equity. This has continued to proliferate and grow nationally. I'm not saying that every homeowners association is bad. Quite to the contrary. There are some good ones. They're healthy. They're there to help the fellow neighbor. But those homeowners associations that are motivated by money, by greed, by power, ultimately begin inflicting enormous amount of pain and detriment to the fellow homeowner.
I think the origins of homeowner associations were primarily to give local municipal governments a free ride. Tax-wise, that's how they all got started. You're right that not everyone is a bad one, but as we always say, you're one election away.
Yes. Well, the management companies and the collection companies will campaign and they will market homeowners associations, and they will try and get people on the board that will be management and collection company friendly.
Yeah.
Once they get those people on the board, they now have a free ride. Are those people who are on the board getting any kind of kickback? Very difficult to tell. The occasional dinner, maybe someone's paying their phone bill, their gas bill, maybe an occasional vacation to Cancun. Very difficult to tell how they're being paid for what they're doing. But overall, those management groups that have taken over the boards, again, it's important to realize these management companies don't live in the neighborhood, nor do the collection companies, only the homeowners and the HOA board members. They have no incentive whatsoever to make things better.
You know, they just, it's like the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. Because you talk to one management company, and they're managing this association, and the other management company is managing Association B, and then they kind of switch, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, we're so wonderful, and then they get canned. It's okay, it doesn't matter. They just keep making the rounds, and I've been watching them do that for years.
Yes.
That's really interesting.
Yes.
Robin, had been sued by your association?
Yes. We did two additions on the property, and the first addition went just fine. There were no problems. And prior to the HOA signing off on the architectural plans, they gave us verbal permission to go ahead and get started. We did that. There was no problem with the first addition. The second addition, we asked the same thing. Can we, you know, have verbal approval to get started, you know, knock down the block wall, that kind of stuff. And they said, yes, go ahead. So we did. And then we got a letter stating that to cease and desist building, an injunction, in effect. And the main reason was that in the architectural plans, the air conditioner was going to be on the roof. And prior to even receiving the letter, we just realized that it was not a smart thing to do. You know, it was to our advantage to put it on the ground. And so the homeowners association sued me because I was putting the air conditioner on the roof.
Wasn't according to the approval letter, right?
Pardon me?
Wasn't being built according to the approval letter, the plans that were approved.
We never got an approval letter.
Oh.
Or in a letter declining or anything. And so they took me to court. In the first court date, the judge asked, you know, do you have it on the roof? And I said no. And so because that was their main focus for suing, they had to come up with something else. And so they came up with the landscaping. They didn't like the landscaping plans. They were not done by an architect. They did not like our wooden gate, and they did not like the pots in the front yard. CCNRs state that the gates are supposed to be iron and that there are not to be any pots.
That's actually in the CCNRs?
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't know until after.
Okay.
We took pictures of the neighborhood, all the other wooden gates, and all the other pots in the front yard, and the judge said, you know what, this looks great. It stays. You know, the fence and the pots stay. That was the second court date. The third court date, the HOA attorney did not show.
Oh.
She showed very late. She showed just after the judge said, we're going to set a new date so that the HOA attorney can be there. So she was, you know, very upset, indignant that, you know, because she was late, they were not going to go through with that court date. And then, so the final fourth court date, she didn't show at all. She wasn't late. She just never showed. And so the judge just said, that's it. You're done. You get your fines back. Everything gets to stay. You're fine. And they didn't like that, so they appealed to the Nevada Supreme Court.
Oh, it went to the Supreme Court.
It went to the Nevada Supreme Court, and we had to mediate prior to. I made the mistake of mediating with them, and the deal was that I was to give them another landscaping plan. And they gave me a plan that they wanted me to follow. Other than it not being by an architect and that it was not to scale, everything else was exactly as the other one, the sample that they gave me. So I was to give them the plan. They were to drop the case, anything, the appeal, and they were to give me my fine back, $900 in fines.
Do you know that two state courts have found that fines are unconstitutional?
No.
In Virginia, both of the cases are on my website.
Okay.
And this doesn't have jurisdiction anywhere else, but the arguments are pretty much the same. In Virginia, it's Unit Owners Association versus Gilman, and that did go to the Virginia Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said that it violated the separation of governments, the constitutional separation of governments. Therefore, it was a police power that could not be delegated, and it was an unconstitutional act. In Rhode Island, you have Osborne Court Condominium versus Foley, and this one was on remand from the Supreme Court. What happened was Foley was fined. He argued not so much the fines didn't bring up the constitutional issues or the questions, but he lost in court. And then he appealed to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court then said, you know, the judge in the lower court never addressed the fining issue. So we're going to send it back to the lower court with the instructions that they address the fining and the constitutionality of fining. If they find that it is constitutional, you come back, we will take that case and we will hear the case. So when it went back to the lower court, the judge said, oh, the Constitution, oh, that Constitution. No, of course it's unconstitutional. So that they said the actual law was unconstitutional. It's a delegation of police power. So if you end up with that, or you know anyone, you run across anyone, you know, a lot of the attorneys who represent homeowners don't know this.
Okay. Well, that's very good to know.
And so I've been trying to put all the good cases up on my website. CIA puts all their good cases up on theirs. So I put the good ones on mine.
Wow, okay.
You know, you'll have to...
It's good.
Yeah, you'll have to... If it comes up again, you'll have to argue it right at the very beginning. The judge will not go there. The judge is going to rule on a much narrower thing. They're not going to touch the Constitution. But if you don't preserve the right to argue it, you cannot do so later on. So just, you know, if all you do is mention the Constitution.
Well, that has been mentioned many times, and unfortunately, the courts here will not have anything to do with homeowner-related issues, unless it's the homeowner association that takes the homeowner to court. The other way around, they will not have anything to do with it because there's the ombudsman's program.
You know, how's that working out?
Not very well at all.
No, that's gone through... That's about 14 years old. Mike Schneider was the first one to come up with it, and it's gone through about a number of different iterations. It's been massaged out of existence. It started up okay, but...
Yes. And then, you know, there's the arbitration. So the ombudsman's program is free. If the ombudsman's office says that it needs to go to arbitration, or the homeowner decides to go through arbitration, it can take many weeks or it can take months into years. So the homeowner is then paying for the arbitrator, and they're paying for their own attorney. So this, it averages between $10,000 to $20,000 for a homeowner to go into arbitration. And arbitration rules in favor of the homeowners association 85% of the time.
You know why? Because you get to choose your arbitrators. So if they rule against the homeowners association, the next time the homeowners association comes up, they're not going to pick that arbitrator.
Exactly. Yes.
And,
yes, I've heard that.
You know, so the homeowner's probably not going to go back to arbitration over and over and over again. So they're going to cater to the people who are going to bring them the business.
Yes.
And what I don't like about, I mean, there's a lot of things I don't like about arbitration. It's that it's closed.
Yes.
You can't, you know, there's nothing, there's no record that's made. So every time you go, you reinvent the wheel.
Yes.
So what's next for you?
I will continue on doing the research that I'm doing. My goal is to try and get before the necessary government entity that will allow me the time to do research. I'm going to need about 3 years to do the necessary research to prove that people are being damaged as a result of HOA syndrome. My proposal is that for a 3-year period, that a moratorium be put on all fines, fees, and penalties, with the exception of the flat homeowners association dues. During that period of time, my goal is to find 50,000 people. That is a 50,000 point population sample. 25,000 who live in an HOA, 25,000 people who don't. The basic hypothesis: those who live in a homeowners associations will have higher glucocorticoid levels than those who do not. And as a result, those individuals are experiencing damage to their themselves physiologically as well as psychologically. If it is true that we live in a community, a country, that would stop bad water from flowing, that would stop a car from producing cars, a manufacturer from producing cars with bad accelerators, that they would take food off of the shelf if it were tainted or bad, E. coli, then how is it that we could possibly allow homeowners associations, collection companies, and management companies to continue to damage our citizens knowing that they're doing so.
One thing you said during the last interview that I found fascinating was the fact that pregnant infants in utero are actually damaged by the stress their parents feel the mother is under.
That research has been done. It's well proven. The numbers are significant. It is reasonable to believe that individuals living in homeowners associations are under more stress than those individuals who are not. Therefore, it is reasonable to conclude that women who are pregnant, who live in homeowners associations, are having damage done in utero as a result of the homeowners association.
What kind of damage is being done to the infants, the unborn infants? What's the outcome?
There's a wide range of damage that may vary. It can be anything from diabetes to blood-related illnesses. It can be physical deformities. All of this is related to the stress, and I would be remiss if I said that I could name these off the top of my head.
Wow. Very interesting. Well, if I run into anyone, I'll certainly shoot them over to you.
Please do.
Have them contact you and... That would be really, really interesting. I think if you manage to sort of do away with HOAs through that research, you would have done something phenomenal.
Well, I think, and I could be wrong about this, I think that going in through the front door of let's fight the legislation, let's fight the contract, let's fight the law, my sense is that's a hard battle.
It is.
But if I go in the side door of, we got a healthcare problem here, we've got a leak in the levee, and you can yell and scream as much as you want about the fact that you have a right to the income off of that levee, but I'm going to tell you that we've got a healthcare crisis as a result of that levy, and I'm going to step in and I'm going to stop it. In other areas of our society and culture, we do that. With HOAs, they are government unto themselves.
I like that. I was really excited when I first read your paper. Very excited, because I had tried to do something, but I did not have the credentials that you have to bring that about. I can, because I'd hear from people and I was, wait a minute, you know, this is a problem here, guys. There's a real problem when people commit suicide because they're in HOAs, when people are afraid of talking.
Yes. Tremendous amount of fear in just discussing the issues or problems. And that has become widespread. Creating fear in the homeowners is part of the process.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm really excited about that. I think that's really going to go a long way. Think you might go to Washington and attack?
I would be thrilled to receive a call to testify in Washington and discuss this problem and issue. I would be thrilled to get it in the hands of someone who's got the power to step in at the federal level and put a stop to this.
Let's see what we can do about that.
I'm there.
Cool. That'd be great.
And I'm there to help.
That's awesome.
I'm not savvy enough to pull that together, but I am, you know, there to help, you know, phone calls, documentation, that kind of thing.
I'm trying to think of who might be good. I mean, right now I don't know that we're going to get a whole lot, because you have to look for a slow time.
Yes.
Right now,
it's not now.
It's not now, no, not at all.
And next year's going to be tough with the election. I think everybody's hunting for their jobs,
yeah,
their future.
Yeah.
And the idea of saving lives may simply not be at the top of the list.
No, and that's the problem when you're in, I mean, even getting stories in the Washington Post, It's really hard because you're competing with national news. Our local news is national news. And when you're competing with global and national news, it's got to be a very slow period before you'll get the local media to pick up on it.
Yes.
And I think the same with the legislators.
Well, I am concerned that we're going to see more violence. We're going to see murders. And it is disturbing to me that that's how loud that someone has to yell to be heard.
Yeah.
There are these cases. They're increasing in the police sector. The police is tired of them. The police are tired of this. The police themselves are afraid of their HOAs. And
they go after them as well, which is stupid.
They do not discriminate.
No. Nope.
And they do go after the police. And I have talked to a number of police that are bothered and disturbed by the HOAs and feel absolutely powerless to do anything about it. One of the tricks now has been to anybody that talks about HOAs using specific names. They're now subpoenaing them.
Oh, I know.
For slander and libel.
Oh, yeah. No, I got subpoenaed because I'm a guest blogger on Privatopia.
Mm-hmm.
And I was subpoenaed. I was one of the three people subpoenaed. And that was kind of interesting.
And so the goal here, as you're very aware of, if we can shut you up, if we can stop free speech, we can take complete and total control of the country. And to date, they've done a wonderful job of it.
Well, there's some people who won't shut up.
That's true. There are some people that won't.
There's some people who won't shut up. And I invite anybody to come on and talk about it. And including those who want to shut you up. You always talk to the other people. Opposite. No, I don't. I'll talk to you. Come and talk to me.
Even these people are afraid to talk.
A lot of people are afraid to talk. It's not as bad now as it was in the beginning. In the beginning, it was really terrible. But, now everyone's talking about it, so they talk about it as well. But, before the internet came along, it was word of mouth. It was my cousin, my neighbor, but they didn't want people to know that was happening, so they didn't talk about it. And when somebody went through court records and tried to find these people when this whole movement started 20 years ago, the homeowners were really upset. They said, "How'd you find me? We don't want to talk to you. We don't want our friends and family to know." It's like this huge embarrassment.
Yes. Well, I'm going to suggest that the mere idea that human beings are doing this to other human beings is an enormous embarrassment.
It is.
And it's an abomination. It's deplorable and disgusting.
Why, Shu, what is your take on why these HOA board members get out of control and harass?
Some of them are okay, they're manipulated. Some of them are completely and totally ineffective. But I think some of them never make it in real life. Some of them don't get the career advancements, the promotions. And they've lost control of their own lives, whether it's at home, whether it's at work, whether it's in any other aspect, and they just aren't where they think they should be. So they get on the board, and a lot of people don't want to get on the board, and so they take over the board, and now they're in a position of power. Now they have the opportunity to just harass and beat up on other people. And then you get people who are fed up and they go in and they take over the board. And frankly, sometimes they end up being worse than the people they replaced.
Yeah.
You did say Bally, right?
Bally's, yeah. I'm so lost. I've never been to Las Vegas before. This is my first.
Oh, wow. Have you been able to see anything?
No, I got in at 1:30 Las Vegas time, which was 4:30 a.m. my time. My internal clock.
Well, do you plan to gamble at all?
I'm going to try it, but I'm not a gambler.
If you like, you can just go ahead and give the money to me, and I can avoid the, you can avoid the hassle.
That's why I've set its $5 limit.
You know, I would just leave it with me. I'll let you know you lost.
Yeah, I lost.
And that's it.
Yeah. No, there's so many people sitting there just really focusing on these one-armed bandits, and they're working, and they're so serious, and I haven't seen anything when I've heard anyone go ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
So that's...